Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, happy Saturday night. You're listening to Bad Company with Grey Eye Smith and Daniel Deschino. And tonight's show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies under the same moniker on amazon.com, so feel free to check those out and help support these shows. That said, so I'm going to bring Daniel on. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, what is happening? Changed it up with a little Mungo Jerry tonight, huh? For the opening song.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. That is always a fun song. That'll be played for many generations, and 300 years from now, people will see what was that song about. But it's just such a fun feel, you know?
Absolutely. Well, welcome to the show, Daniel. And
yeah.
I'd like to bring on Weaver of Dreams. Hello, Katie.
Hello, my dears. Hello, Daniel. Hope you're all well.
Hey, Weaver, what is happening?
Not a lot, my dear. Not a lot. Not at my age.
Still fighting that British insomnia over there, huh?
Well, I would say Scottish, because we're no longer
Scottish,
British.
That's right, Scottish.
Yeah, but I am. I don't actually fight it. I just go with the flow. because there's nothing else
there
to be done.
That's it.
Absolutely. Cool, cool. Well, thank you for joining us, Weaver. Appreciate you sharing your awake time with us. All right, Daniel, what do we have?
We have all kinds of fun stuff. We have a whole bunch from last time, which is still about summertime, so perfect song there. And let's get this going up here. I'm going to post this right now. And Weaver, as a special guest star here, you can start us off. And hold on, it's posting. It's thinking about it. There it goes.
It does
that,
doesn't
it?
That
came up?
It no does. Problem. Oh, that's cute. Summer's Fairy Queen. I love it. Lovely. Summer's Fairy Queen by Laura Sanders. She comes with sweet summer's enchantment in her arms. Fragrant colored flowers are her scented heady balm. White, green, woven garlands decorate her flowing auburn hair. She is the Fairy Queen of Summer, a maiden most fair. She is friend to the painted butterfly. She rides on a bee. Lives in the forest glades among birds and trees. Steps with her pretty feet onto carpets of bluebells. Entices all to her dance in her early woodland dell. Animals serenade her, the grasshopper, the frog, all join her to waltz, swing over streams and logs. She brings the sun, the warmth, a zest for life. Prettiest of all seasons maids, she thrives while sun still shines. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, Weaver. And I like it. You know, it's enchanting. It's lovely. You know, it paints a beautiful picture of this summer fairy and all her charms. You know, and the world around her is a better place for her being here. So kudos to the author, Laura Sanders. And thank you so much for reading, Weaver. What did you think, Daniel?
I thought it was lovely, and I love these type of poems. It's just descriptive and just beautiful. Perfect. The painting she put up for those that are following along, put a nice little painting up of look like a summer fairy queen. I really like the fantasy of she's friends with a painted butterfly, but then she rides on a bee. I really love that. You can just picture a little fairy kind of riding around on a bee. It lives in the forest glades among the birds and the trees. And I was like, anytime you can rhyme with the word frog, I love frog. I love frog. It's a great word. If I was going to be named an animal besides human, I would be named frog because it's a great name. But serenades with, you know, animal serenade, grasshopper, frog. And I just, there's so much just nature and animals in here that she's just friendly with. It actually reminded me of this morning. I don't know if anybody follows me on Instagram, but I was walking around early this morning, my neighborhood, and, you know, I live in a city neighborhood, but there was rabbits and birds everywhere, and they were just kind of hanging around. It just reminded me of just peace, that you can have peace wherever you are with the rest of nature. So, very beautiful. Thank you, Laura, so much.
Yeah, you know, you reminded me of the fact that COVID brought animals into the heart of the city again because there were so few people that the animals started to explore inside of the city. So that was interesting.
It really did. It really did.
And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this is such a... It's got a kind of an old-fashioned sweetness about it. You can imagine this as being a little story for children to have read to them at night before they go to sleep. There's the fairy queen sitting on her bee, buzzing about, doing her stuff, looking after everybody. So sweet. I liked it a lot. And, you know, there isn't enough of this feel-good kind of sunshine and animals and fairies. We need more of it because it is altogether very sweet. So thank you so much. I really enjoyed that, Laura.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. Okay, Daniel, where are we to next?
We are going to one of the nicest people I've ever met on here, which is Hats. And if you want to give that a read, great. That would be awesome. Oh,
bye. There you have a caller. I'd like to welcome Ben Hurt to the show. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Greg. Can you hear me?
Yep, absolutely.
That's good.
Thanks for calling
Ben.
In.
Good to meet you finally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ben, how's
your voice? Good to call in. Yeah. Is this your first time ever calling in, Ben?
No, I did the headliner show with Jeremy and Pam, but this is the first time I'm calling in as a caller. Yeah.
Amazing, amazing. Huge fans of your work. I'm so glad. And Faziana might call in tonight, she was telling me, and if she does, she'll be so excited that you're here. In fact, she's listening right now. She's probably like, Ben's on. I got to get on the show. So, great. All right, so I'm changing up my thing now, though. So as the newest caller, Ben, sorry, Gray, we're going to push you off here. You get to read the next one here since he hasn't done it yet. If you don't mind reading one by Hats, that would be cool.
Okay, I will give it my best shot.
Excellent.
So this is By the Lake by Hats. The sun's rays draw pictograms on the surface of the lake. Light runs on the surface, and water shimmers and trembles, as if the scales of snakes were rubbing against each other, as if the surface were a silver wire camisole. Tongues of light lick the rocky outcrops. I stand on the gray rock. August breeze hugs my naked body and brings the scent of pines. I count to three. Hands above my head. Bend the knees. Splash. Coolness of the lakes, of the lake wraps me. End poem.
Oh, fantastic read, Ben. And I like the poem. You know, it has wonderful imagery and, you know, the refreshing dive into the cool of a lake, you know, in the midsummer is a beautiful thing. So I really enjoyed the write, you know, it really brought me to the lakeshore along with this person and took me swimming, you know. But yeah, skinny dipping at that. So great job. Excellent write and a fantastic read as well. Daniel, what did you think?
I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I love the imagery of tongues of light lick the rocky outcrops. I think that's really, really interesting. And there is a sensuality to this, but not a sexual sensuality, just a sensuality of this kind of oneness with nature and just being able to feel everything, almost just getting caressed by nature, by the lake. The sun's rays drop pictograms on the surface of the lake is really interesting. It is funny when you see those shimmering lights on the lake, you know, just what you are looking at or any kind of water surface. And then you can just kind of, you can feel the childlike delight almost at the end. I count to three, hands above head, and then bend the knees and splash. You can see just that just sense of wonderment of actually jumping in the lake. And all that Hats in a little brevity, which is beautiful. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yes, this is absolutely lovely. I really like this. It's so descriptive. I mean, and the line, as if the surface were a silver wire camisole, absolutely beautiful. And it does, it just takes you to that point where you're standing on the rock, the breeze is just teasing your body and your skin is enjoying it, and then into the cool water. Really, it sounds beautiful, doesn't it? So peaceful as well, you know, which is cool. So, yes, I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Hats, for sharing.
Excellent comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Ben, you read it. What did you think?
I thought it was very nice. I really liked the splash, because I feel if whenever I, as a child, was jumping into the water, like, that was my favorite part always. So I liked to see it included. And I also like the last line, coolness of the lake wraps me, because it's such a serene place to go, even in like if it's summer in August and it's so warm and maybe it's very crowded and then you're just under the water and you're there, you're all alone, and it's nice and quiet and cool. Yeah, I really liked it.
Great comment. Thank you, Ben. All right, Daniel, what do we have next?
We have, where is it here? This one is going to be for you, Gray. And can I just ask, Ben, do you think you'll be able to stick around for a while, or I want to make sure we get your poem up before you go?
Oh, that's very nice of you, but just go by your own schedule. I'm not sure how long I'm going to stay because it's after 4 a.m. for me, but I'm just happy to be here.
Oh,
so don't mind me.
I appreciate it. Okay, no worries, no worries at all. All right, this is called Drunk. And if you want to read that one, Gray, that'd be great.
Sure. Just one second here. This is by Lawrence67, and it's called Drunk. Four drunk Beatles walk into a bar. The bartender says to the first Beatle, "What will it be, bub?" The first Beatle, John, says, "Imagine." The bartender thinks for a bit and says, "I imagine you want one bourbon." Then he asks the second Beatle, "How about you, buddy?" The second Beatle, Paul, says, "Don't let me down." The bartender says, "Take it easy, pal, I got you. You want one scotch." The bartender looks at the third Beatle and asks, "How about you?" The third Beatle, George, cries out, "Help." The bartender says, "Settle down, I'll help you, here's one beer." Then the bartender looks down on the floor where the first Beatle was laying drunk off his gore and says, "How about you, fella, what will it be?" The fourth Beatle, Ringo, drunk as a skunk, motions to the bartender and says, "Hey, man, come down here, man." So the bartender bends over and says, "Yeah, man, what will it be?" The fourth drunk Beatle, Ringo, says, "Hey, man, I want one bourbon, one scotch, one beer." Everybody sing. "Well, I ain't seen my baby since I don't know when. I've been drinking bourbon, scotch, and gin. Getting high, man, I'm going to get loose. Need me a triple shot of that juice. Gonna get drunk, don't you have no fear. I want one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. One bourbon, one scotch, and one beer." And poem. And poem. That was great. I guess this is based on the quote, "Being drunk is a good disguise. I drink so I can talk to assholes. This includes me." Wow. Fantastic, right? You know, it really captures both the Beatles and John George Thorogood. You know, one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. One bourbon, one scotch, and one beer. You know, it was lighthearted. It was fun. I really liked Ringo being drunk on the floor. Yeah, it was fantastic. Excellent to read it as well. What are your thoughts, Daniel?
Yeah, this was so much fun. I loved it. I loved how they were just playing with the Beatles and just having fun, almost like a limerick, you know, a long limerick, but almost like a limerick, just that type of a feel it found. That I thought it was extremely clever. I loved how he had Ringo singing. Like you said, George Thorogood was a lot of fun. I bet you afterwards, though, Ringo, "What else do you need? A little help from your friends," right? Sorry, I just had to throw that one in there. But I liked how he kind of fit all the Beatles songs in there, and it was, yeah, it was just fun. It was a great one. Thanks, Lawrence.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yes, it was excellent. Absolutely excellent. I like the fact that he didn't feel obliged to spell Beatles as the Beatles would have had it spelled. And he just stuck with the Beatles, so you had that in your head. And he just gave them the name, so we knew exactly who he was talking about. But absolutely beautiful. Oh, I just noticed. Ah, interesting. As I was saying, that he had it spelled B-E-E-T-L-E all the way through until he gets to Ringo. And he gives Ringo the Beatles spelling. Wow. I wonder if he meant that or whether it was just, you know, it is a Beatle, so he just forgot what he was doing for a second and put B-E-A-T-L-E. Cool, anyway. Lovely. I thought it was very funny. I mean, they are my favorite band, you know, aside from Gerry Rafferty. Absolutely brilliant. So clever. I do like that. Funny, clever. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Weaver. Great comment. And Ben, what are your thoughts?
I really like this. It's really something different, I feel. Because I'm not from a generation that is really familiar with the Beatles, even though it might hurt some people hearing that. But it's it's a fun introduction, I guess. And it's very lively and I don't know, I think it's intended to just make people have fun with it, and I like that.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Ben. All right, Daniel, what do we have next?
Yes, yes. And Ben, you are familiar with the Beatles because everybody you're listening to right now came from the Beatles. So there, I'm going to throw that comment out there.
But, oh, Ben, correct.
Exactly. Yes, we have, hold on here. So this one will be for you, Weaver. And hold on, I'm being a bad host, so hold on a second. So we're going to keep with the drunk theme, I think, here, and this one's called Rum. So this is for you, Weaver.
Thank you. Sorry, I was on mute there. I was going to be so good and not, but there we are. Rum by Scraps and Scribbles. Sweet, warm, melted sunshine still burns invested with corona, trickles with a tinkle on the crystal, licks the side and lingers like a hand, steadying the hectic throes of passion, a chemical reaction, liquefied explosion, dark as the sweat that rolls down the Caribbean girls as they swagger by, and I drain dry the last drops of night dew collected under a lovely moon. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And I like the poem. It tickles, trickles with a tinkle on the crystal, licks the side and lingers like a hand, steadying the hectic throes of passion, a chemical reaction, liquefied explosion. Dark as the sweat that rolls down the Caribbean girls as they swagger by. Yeah, you know, that's a beach that, you know, we could all spend some time on for sure. I liked it. Well done. And thank you for reading, Weaver. Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I liked it as well, too. I like Scraps and Scribbles. And I like the flow in the word choice is very interesting because the person is almost drunk, I think, in this, and trying to read tricks with a tinkle on the crystal, lips the side and lingers like a hand. It's hard to say, so it's almost like you're intoxicated trying to read it. The way that they put the words together, I don't know if that was on purpose, Scraps, but it's brilliant, I think, the way you actually did that, something I never thought of doing. And just making it, romanticizing it in a fantasy kind of way, I drain the last drops of the night dew collected under the lovely moon, just kind of gives it this beauty at the end. So I really thought it was a beautiful little brevity. I enjoyed it a lot.
Well said. Thank you, Daniel. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was wonderfully written. Really enjoyed it. It had the steady, slow burn, which I like in any kind of poetry. It takes me back. My dad was in the Royal Navy. And in those days, in my dad's day, they got a tot of rum every day. I don't know why. I've never quite figured it out. Why would you want your fighting force drunk? Anyway, well, I don't suppose you could get drunk on that amount, but yeah, it was a wonderful thing. Guys used to really look forward to that afternoon drink, and they stopped it eventually. I think they realised they were ruining their livers. But I thought this was wonderful. The word choices were so clever, and it did. It was just so lovely. The alliteration was enough to be. Well, it was very noticeable, but so beautifully done that you didn't think in your head, oh, look, that's another alliteration. It was just calm and beautiful and funny, and I liked it a lot.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Ben, what did you think?
I thought it was very beautiful. I really like the first two lines, sweet, warm, melted sunshine still burns invested with corona, and also the last line or two lines, and I drain dry the last drops of night dew collected under the lovely moon. That's really, really something else. It's very, it paints the picture very well. It allows you to, I don't know, it's like walking down like a street in a summer night, and you can just, I don't know, you're there, right? It's very, very interesting.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Ben. All right, Daniel, where are we to next?
Okay, and I realized I haven't read one yet, actually, so I was so excited that all you guys are here. I'm going to post one for myself and to read here, and this is by Angel Wings, and I'm going to read this. It's called A Day at the Beach. A quiet stroll on the beach with open lands to explore. The ocean comes a-crashing on the sandy beach shores. Sun is glowing red and orange that shines ever so brightly. Softly the winds are blowing, and the trees swaying slightly. The parents with the children are having fun in the sand, where they're building a castle, and as tall as it will stand. The birds are flying so high and singing their merry song. The bumblebees are busy making honey all day long. Family, friends, and barbecues, the good times has just begun. Why don't you come and join us for some laughter and some fun? End poem.
Beautiful read, Daniel. And I liked it. You know, it's inviting. It's engaging. It's picturesque. You know, it has wonderful imagery. I really like the assonance. You know, it really has a wonderful flow as well. The birds are flying so high, and singing their merry song. The bumblebees are busy making honey all day long. It's just wonderful. And then the penultimate stanza: family, friends, and barbecues. The good times has just begun. Why don't you come and join us for some laughter and some fun? I mean, that's what summer's all about, is making friends and expanding your horizon. So I thought it was just a wonderful write on summer. Excellent job. Thank you very much for sharing, Angel Wings. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, that was the complete and absolute essence of summer, wasn't it? Beautifully done. There is nothing more satisfying than the sound of waves. Nice on sand, even better on rocks. It just got this lovely... And let's face it, we are mostly water, so there's no reason why we wouldn't be drawn to anything that has that kind of liquid, languishing, lying about in the sand feeling. So yes, I thought it was beautifully written. And I like sun is glowing red and orange that shines ever so brightly. Softly the winds are blowing and the trees swaying slightly. The rhyming is beautifully done as well. I mean, that's it. It's so well done you don't actually notice it until you get to maybe, you know, third, fourth stanza. Very good. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Angel Wings. Lovely.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Ben Hart, what did you think?
I think it was very nice. I agree with you guys that it's very... Yeah, it's like the essence of summer, right? Like everyone, at least I think it's part of the human experience, right? Just lying on a beach, and then even when you leave for the night, then you still feel like the sun on your face, and when you go to bed, you still sort of feel adrift. And it's really, really, I don't know, it just harkens back to a good time.
Absolutely, great comment. Thank you, Ben. And Daniel, you read it. What did you think?
It was a lot of fun to read. As Weaver said, the rhyming was great. And you guys, I think, summed it all up with the essence of it. And it's just a beautiful, fun, relaxing. And what I like about a lot of these poems that we've been reading last week and this week is they're not overly deep. They're just very descriptive and very, very much fun. And that is what summer is about. It's not overworking, overthinking. It's just sitting there hanging out and just enjoying the world and looking around, and you have to do that every once in a while. These are hard actually for me to write. I try to write them. I'll try to write just a poem about what I'm looking at. I end up talking about the nature of the universe or something. It's just the way my mind works. I can't do it. So I always envy when people can just write these very simple kind of tone poems. They're hard to do. And she did an absolutely beautiful job. Speaking of the Beatles, they actually did that a lot. They wrote some very deep things, but then they wrote a lot of stuff that wasn't a lot of meaning. It was just, it just fit really well. You know, hers has meaning. It has an amazing feel to it. But I like the simplicity of a lot of these poems. Some of my favorite type of poetry and lyrics is that type of things. So awesome job, Angel Wings. We really appreciate it.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And I think we should put Ben's up just so he can read, if you don't mind.
Yep, I'm way ahead of you. That's exactly what we have going on here. So, Ben, this one is for you, and if you want to read yours, that would be great.
Of course. I really, because I was very surprised that Gray chose this, because I write a lot, and then I sort of throw it over my shoulder. So I kind of... introduced to my own poem, but of course I'll read it. This is The Summer of 2021 by Ben Hart.
Have you quoted it, Daniel?
I'm sorry.
What's up?
Oh, I was just asking if you posted it in the group, because I'm not seeing it.
Oh, it's not there? Hold on a second. I thought I did it. Yeah, it should be there.
I think so, yeah.
Uh-huh. I've refreshed it 3 times.
All right, let me do it. Do you see it, Weaver?
Yes, I've got it. Thank you, yeah.
All right, I'll post it again. You might have lost it.
There it is.
Yeah, no worries. The fun of electronics, you know, modern day electronics are not our friends.
No. No.
All right. Sorry, Daniel. Sorry, Ben.
No problem. So this is the Summer of 2021 by Ben Hart. The wind was bitter when it hit my tongue. Perhaps it was the taste of my defeat. See, I thought that summer would be sweet, but this last winter proved me wrong. Once there was such promise in a snowflake, but beauty has since been distilled into diamond dust. That's a beauty I'm not certain I can trust. It was too hard to hold and so easy to break. Spring did nothing to decorate the lands, and I could not endure it any longer. I was so sure it would make me stronger if I decorated all of it with my own hands. But I hadn't been a minute before, but it hadn't been a minute before I ran out of string, and my paper leaves were too easy to tear. When I realized that none of it was fair, I knew sometimes summer had to wait for spring. Little boats go by long into the night, a herd of sheep grazing at the riverbank, who seemed to laugh when one boat sank, and who would deny them the sight. The summer of 2021 was my sweetest kiss. Those 2 weeks, I got to see your lips and argue with a waiter over tips, something I'd never thought I'd miss. End poem.
Wow, fantastic read. And I like the poem, you know. It has both, you know, a melancholy and yet a joy to it at the ending, which is always a wonderful thing when melancholy turns to joy. I don't know if this is a personal write, but it sounds wonderful that you had these 2 weeks of summer with this, you know, with your sweetest kiss and those lips. So, and then arguing with the waiter over tips, something I'd never thought I'd miss. But yeah, it's those little things that we remember and that can bring us both pain and joy. So a wonderful write. And a great read.
Thank you very
much. Absolutely, thank you. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
It was beautiful. One of the shortest poems I've ever seen you do, Ben, and I love it. And I love the rhyme scheme as well, too. The rhyme is great, a great rhyme to be able to read. And the feel is awesome. I love that second stanza. Once there was such a promise in a snowflake, the beauty has since been distilled into diamond dust. I think that's just such amazing. I can picture the snowflake breaking off. The beauty I'm not sure I can trust, it was so hard to hold and so easy to break, which is, you know, I don't know if this is what you were meant by it, but I'm just picturing that snowflake of it, you know, the special magic of snow coming, but it is so fragile and just disappears so quickly. That's almost that just such a beautiful way to describe kind of winter disappearing into spring. I thought it was great. And like Gray said, I do like how there is a lot of melancholy and there's some sadness in there, but then something I never thought I'd miss at the end, which is so true of a lot of summers. We all tend at times to look back at all the bad things, but mostly I think when we look back, we think of the pleasanter times and the good times, no matter what. Even at the time, some of those summers, we might have thought like, I just want this to be done, but now you always look back and say, oh, geez, I remember that with such great times. So, yeah, it is interesting how it happened. So I thought this was very beautiful. Did you want to say anything before Kate comments anything about your poem?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it's to me because I really write to sort of like like purge for myself. So when I am, and this was also before I started doing like the artwork for it. So it was in 2021 when I just joined. It was really just to get things out there. So I completely forgot about this poem. So it was being reintroduced. It was very fun, but it was also to me a little more difficult to read because it's now no longer really my style of writing. But yeah, sometimes I do like when I return to an old poem and I think, oh, that was a nice line. Maybe I can use that again and people won't notice.
Yes.
Clever.
Absolutely. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I will echo what everybody else said. It's absolutely beautiful. And I know it's not your style now, but that is lovely. I kind of took that stanza with the snowflake as being more your feelings about love. It is. Love is a very fragile thing, so easy, broken, so hard to hold on to, and so difficult sometimes to trust. Well, at least that's my experience. Maybe I'm a bit biased that way, but I thought it was really lovely. And I did like the last stanza. It was really nice. The summer of 2021 was the sweetest kiss. It's lovely to have memories like that. But again, memories can be so bittersweet. I think we're lucky perhaps that time takes the edge off things a little bit. You know, it makes it a little bit easier to look back at things. But I thought it was beautifully written. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you so much.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. All right, Daniel, where are we to next?
We are going off to you to read one for us here. I'm going to post it right now. I'm having one of those technology issues, but it's coming, I promise. I promise it's coming. And yes, it is time, Weaver, but it is also age, because as you get older, you're like, yeah, whatever. Things can go before, you know, little more there. We have a good...
I'd like to welcome Captain BT, a.k.a. Bobby, to the show. Hello, Bobby.
Hi.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi.
Hey,
Bobby, how are you?
too many adventures. First, I couldn't find my phone. Then it was almost dead. I tried to plug it in, but someone moved my plug, and it wouldn't charge. Having all kinds of fun things this evening.
Oh, no.
So,
Bobby, I missed you. I'm so glad I get to talk to you again.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are you?
Yeah, exactly. For those of you who don't know, I was on a Bobby, you know, she invited me to her first show, and I was a guest, but I had crazy schedule, and unfortunately, this summer I had to change around, so Gray and I kind of switched, so it's great to be with Bobby again. I don't say that Bobby and I left. We separated, and we're seeing other poets for now. That's the way I was.
I already
we
like
have
before.
An understanding.
That's
we,
right.
We, have
right.
An
we didn't get the book.
We have a relationship.
Yes, exactly. All right, cool. Well, I was going to give this to Gray, but your punishment, Bobby, is you get to read the next.
Who do I have to channel?
Exactly. And I think I posted. I can post it again if you want, if you don't see it in there.
Evening at the lake?
Yes.
Okay. I'll adopt my masculine voice. How's that? Evening at the Lake by Stan Holliday. Come, let's sit here on the sand of this impoundment's shore. The gulls and the geese can be our band, but who could ask for any more? We'll set our chairs on the water's edge and in the water cool our feet. Watch boats troll out beyond the ledge in this, the last of summer's heat. As we reside on eastern side, the evening air just slowly cools. Sun reflects off the waters wide, turning surface into rhinestone jewels. At last the sun hits distant trees, water smooths like liquid mercury. While a loon the evening time decrees, I notice that you look toward me. Yes, I know it's time to go. To hearth and home we must repair. Let's wait a moment even so, and these few last quiet moments share. End of poem.
Wow, beautiful. beautiful read, Bobby. And I really enjoyed it. You know, it's peaceful. It's engaging. You know, it's you could sit there at the water's edge and hear the band playing of geese and gulls, you know, and you're right there in the moment with them as they enjoy this final moment of evening. And I like that, you know. Yes, I know it's time to go to hearth and home. We must prepare. Let's wait a moment, even so, and these last few moments share, quiet moments share. Yeah, a beautiful write on a lovely evening at summertime with your lover. So I thought it was wonderful. Excellent write, and thanks for sharing, Stan. Great read, Bobby. What did you think, Daniel? You bet.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful, and it's on that same vein. Like I said, a lot of the poems that we've been looking at are not these kind of deep, you know, philosophical ones. They're more just these tone poems, just enjoying the summer and the beauty of it. And that's what a lot of it is. When I write, I usually write when I walk, and I'm not even kind of paying attention. I'm just walking. But like today, even when I walked, nothing was coming to mind. I was just enjoying the day and kind of looking around. And that is what summertime is about. So these great descriptions, and you know, as we reside on the eastern shore, the evening air just slowly cool, sun reflects off the waters wide, turning surface into rhinestone jewels. You know, you're just sitting there, just feeling the breeze, just looking at everything and enjoying the beauty of everything, and that is what summer's about. And you know, so many of these poems have captured that feel, and Stan certainly did. An awesome read, Bobby, as always, well too. So yeah, thanks, Stan.
Thank you, Daniel. Great comment. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, yes, this is lovely. I have to go and find out what a loon sounds like. I have no idea what a loon sounds like, so that's something.
Oh,
a little bit. Yeah, I imagine. Any bird song is wonderful. It's just that it's a wonderful name, isn't it? I saw a loon this evening. Did you, my dear? Yes, I did. Interesting. So I've got to find out. But I thought this was it was so sweet. It was gentle. And I like that. You know, nothing hits you, nothing scares you awake. It's just lovely. An evening at the lake. Beautifully written. And thank you, Stan, for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And, Ben, what did you think?
I thought this was very beautiful. I really, just like the rum poem, it really brings you into the place that they have in mind. I really like the last stanza that you highlighted, but also the one before, like, at last the sun hits distant trees, water smooth like liquid mercury, while a loon the evening time decrees. I notice that you look toward me. It really brings you... because it paints a scene, right, with everything before, but it really brings you into the one of the chairs. There's someone looking at you. And it's really really beautiful. I really enjoy this.
Great comment, thank you, Daniel. I mean, Ben, and Bobby, what did you think?
I really this bespeaks of serenity, a quiet evening. You're just taking in the environment with the person you're with. We sit our chairs on the water's edge and in the water cool our feet. Watch boats trolling out beyond the ledge in this last the summer's heat. It's just, it is so, it's rich with visual imagery and sensory. I mean, it talks about your feet in the water and the sun reflecting off the water. And the moon or the sun hitting the distant trees, you can visualize very easily a summer of the last of a summer evening where the sun is fighting for every last ray of sunshine before it dips below the horizon, and it just it has such a quietude. It's very nice, and this just reinforces why I read poetry, because the word impoundment. I was always thinking it's when there's somebody holding their car hostage. I looked it up and put it on the board, and impoundment is actually it is a body of water, is surrounded in an enclosure. Isn't that cool?
Sure is. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I learned.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a very
great place for learning.
Very, very pastoral.
And Rex sent you a video of the loon in the group with Katie.
Oh, thanks. I'm just writing a little thank you. I thought at first he was calling me a loon. I thought, oh, yes. I thought you liked me. So I'll listen to that later. Thank you very much. Fabulous.
All right, Daniel, what do we have next?
We have all kinds of fun. Yeah, we got a party here. We got lots of people here. We got Rex on the board and Pam's
I'm
on
jealous.
The board. I'm telling you, we got craziness going on here. All right, so and Hope Soul just joined. Hey Hope, how are we doing? So Gray, this one is for you by Stan. Did we read that one? No, we didn't. Oh, we did read that one. You know what? Wrong one. All right, here we go. It's been a long week of poetry. Hold on, we're getting it. We are posting this one. It was so good, I wanted to post it again. Why is this not? Hold on a second here. That is very strange. I'm clicking on. So I'm trying to read Summer Night by Art Junkie, and it's coming up as a different one. That is so. We are getting some very weird. Very weird things coming on here tonight. It's very, very strange. Having some weird technical issues. That was. I was literally clicking on. I had the poem up, and I was copying. It was doing the wrong one. So that was very weird. But anyway, Gray saved me, and I posted it again. So double there. And this one is for you, Gray.
Okay. So this is Summer Night by Art Junkie. Hands flat, fingers spread. My body moves feather grass as if wading hip-high water. Chips tickle the cups of palms, disturbs resting insects, buzzing a lit on fronds. It's hotter than Hades, sweat beads my upper lip and brow. White butterflies flit in clips above flowering weeds, exploding uncontrolled from neglected mulch. Black beetles tick, buried beneath cool black soil, shaded by drooping blades. This place is overgrown from excessive heat and extensive rain, more jungle than Midwest plain. Wind is a revelation at dusk, bringing with it whispers of relief to the top of trees, vibrating the hum of cicadas like aboriginal didgeridoos whirring. Blues ombre into night, Starlight pinpricks the fabric of the sky. A waxing crescent rises gingerly, hides moons many secrets from me under a halo of mystery and shadow. End poem. And that's a beautiful picture that she has with her poem. I'm assuming it's a she, I don't know. But anyway, it's a wonderful picture. It's called Unfolding Summer Stars by Jennifer Taylor. And I know you're all probably sick of my nature poems, but it's all I have energy for at the moment. Well, you did a beautiful job sharing your nature. This is definitely a beautifully painted word poem. It's hotter than Hades, sweat beads on my upper brow, lip and brow, white butterflies flit in dips above flowering weeds, exploding uncontrolled from neglected mulch. Beetles tick, buried beneath cool black soil, shaded by drooping blades. I mean, you can picture all that as you read through it. So I thought it was wonderfully descriptive and engaging right throughout. Beautiful job. Thank you for sharing that, Art Junkie. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I love Wind is a Revelation at Dusk, bringing with it the whispers, the tops of trees, and I really like the description, vibrating with the hum of cicadas like aboriginal didgeridoos whirling. I've always wanted to buy a didgeridoo. I've had chances, and I don't know why I've never bought them. They're very, I don't know if anybody knows what they are. They're these long tubes that Aboriginals in Australia will blow in and make this noise. They're actually very hard to play. At least I find they're hard to play. And
yeah,
I just, that description is just beautiful. It does, yeah. I'm not very good at wind instruments. That's why I'm a drummer. I need something big giant thing to hit. I can't do that coordination I can't do. But that's an amazing description. I thought the whole thing was very descriptive and very, very interesting. Overgrown from excessive heat, extensive rain, more jungle than Midwest plain is interesting too. And that's, you know that feel, right? You're on the Midwest plain, but it feels like you're in the, you know, there's times when you feel like you're in the tropics. Myself in New England here, you know, you don't think of New England like that, but it can get so muggy and so hot in that you really feel like you're in Florida sometimes. So that feel that she's saying, not sure where Art Junkie is from, but that feel of in the summertime when you just, you know, you feel like you're in Hades, or you feel like you're in the tropics no matter where you are. And I think the descriptions of that was beautiful. Absolutely.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Yes, so descriptive. So well done. I really, the picture, I mean, those are my colors. I love those colors. I think every single thing there, I could live with, you know, I mean, funnily enough, I'm not overly fond of oranges and yellows. I don't know why. Just this spectrum for me is perfect. But that first stanza is so cool. Hands flat, fingers spread, my body moves feather grass, as if wading hip-high water, tips tickle the cup of my palms, disturbing resting insects, buzzing alit on fronds. That's beautiful. Really is. Very well written. And the feel of the heat. You can actually feel that heat pushing you down. I have beads on my upper lip as we speak. It's so descriptive. It's lovely. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. And Ben, what did you think?
It's beautiful. It's like I was I picked a stanza to like highlight, and then you went picked one, and then Daniel picked one, and then all the stanzas were already taken. So yeah, I'm just gonna say I love it all. But it's very amazing. Yeah. It really, really. I don't know. It takes you away for a bit, and it's like the other ones were very placing you there, like describing a day. But this is still quite mysterious as well. So I really like that your imagination is a bit more engaged as well. It's very cool, and it's very weird to me as a Dutchman to hear like you talk about like a country where, well, it's a different continent. And I just Googled this, but my country is actually smaller than the state of New England. So it's not good.
Oh. Wow. Great comment. Thank you, Ben. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Weaver. Visual imagery is very strong in this. Very, very sensory. I like the way it conjures the radiant heat of a summer day, where it's so palpable. Plus the fact that it talks about the black tick beetles and the mulch and just the surroundings, it depicts summer very vividly. I really enjoyed it. I also like Dan said, the wind is a revelation at dusk, bringing with it whispers of relief to the tops of the trees, vibrating with the hum of cicadas. That when evening comes, you feel that, and that relief that comes, and that it's so beautifully described.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. All right, Daniel, what do we have next?
Oh, we have a good one here, and it is Weaver's turn, I believe. I'm going to post this right now. Yeah, we got a lot of great, for those of you on the board, lots of great comments on the board, so make sure we'll try to read them, but otherwise make sure you read them as well, too. And by the way, I want to welcome Mamya, who is listening to us from the Philippines. So we are all over the planet tonight, which is amazing. Thanks, Mamya, for listening in. And I just posted one, We Were For You, by Crest Resort.
Thank you so much. That's a beautiful picture. Summer submissions. From wet look selfies to dyes between burnished limbs, you led my steps in waves of soft hands, peeling away turquoise bikini straps with the pull of dusk tide. Stroked my sun-dipped dunes as we curled, rose, receded, and knelt in the pale blue beach hut, where my fingers traced old and moist pink ripples under your direction. My mouth echoed the movement as your firm hand slipped up and down a hardening forelamp until you murmured, wait. Our breath simmered and eyes kissed, bathed in naked bonding, oceans churning without merging, until storm walls broke and surging together, my throat gulped the salt-sprinkled cocktail on the beach, served by you. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lieber. And I enjoyed the write, you know. It's sensual, it's passionate. You can feel the connection in it. And I really like the imagery as well. And knelt in the pale blue beach hut where my fingers traced, oh, in moist pink ripples under your direction. My mouth echoed the movement as your firm hand slipped up and down a hardened foreland. Yeah, amazing imagery. And I really liked the wordplay in this. So it was definitely captivating and engaging throughout. I really enjoyed it a lot. Great read, Weaver. Thank you. All right, Danny, what did you think?
It was beautiful and sensual, and just a great imagery of basically taking the beauty of a beach and the sensuality of a beach. But I believe she's talking about sexuality and making love with this person and just describing it in these tones of like a midnight beach. And I think it's just really beautiful the way she does that. There's nothing vulgar about it. It's very, very sensual and just in beauty. And you can see, you know, in the picture that beauty of love that you can see. So, where was it here? Stroked my sun-dipped dunes as we curled, the rose receded and knelt in the pale little beach hut where my fingers traced oh, the moist pink ripples under your direction. It's so just so beautiful, and you can just kind of feel the connection of the two people. So really beautiful and loving and awesome, awesome job, Crestasan. I enjoy this a lot.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
It was a joy to read, and it was so delicately handled. Pardon the expression. I'm sorry, that sounded worse than I thought it would. And it was just, you know, there was nothing about it that would shock. It was done with such love. And, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was beautifully done. It's just so sweet as well. It was very sensual, but incredibly sweet, that love between two people. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. It was lovely.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And in the group, Hope Soul says, I enjoyed the metaphors with the sea, a sensual and romantic piece. And Mamya says, it's the rainy season here. When it rains, it pours and sometimes floods. But when it isn't, the heat is scorching, just like today. The light is blinding and the air is humid. Wow. Such a contradiction in terms, both weather types, their rainy season or sunshine. Both of them are brutal in their own way. Hard place to function, I imagine. What are your thoughts, Bobby?
The subtlety with which this was composed. It dances along the edge of eroticism without dipping right in. It leaves just enough to be able to follow a beautifully told story of two people enjoying the summer and each other.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. All right, Daniel. We're almost at the halfway mark here. I don't know if you want to switch to open poetry or not.
Yeah, we'll keep going here. We get the next one up. I'm going to read it. Rex said on there, sounds like an even Margaritaville. So, yeah, I agree. So let me post this here. Come on, post. There you go. All right, I'm going to read this one called In the Mood of Rain by Liquid Mind Forever. There's something about the sound of rain when it falls on a metal roof that causes me to imagine the safety of a mother's womb. Similarly, when pools of rain lie on top of the ground, not able to steep down, to get inside where it's warm and safe because the ground's already too full to absorb more, I feel comforted being inside. Not inside a mind that continues to hunger for more, clothes, money, sex, or food when the stomach's had enough to eat, but can't stop the mouth from stuffing one more bite. Sounds that evoke feelings that transport me to places deep within, where omniscience resides in its solitary, sophistic silence beyond the noise of radios and televised existence, where there's nothing that has to be any way other than what it is. There's a feeling of home that bubbles up inside, not somewhere to drive to, not some destination, but a place where the essence of me lives. I smile to see entire crowds disappear from beaches and boardwalks. How they run to escape, beads of cool water rather than enjoy the relief from the scorch of their sunburned flesh. I take liquid pleasure when rainbow-colored umbrellas suddenly plucked from the sand close and fold into themselves, like feathers shaken and tucked into a sandpiper's belly after it's been skinny dipping. In my amusement, my judgments create a paradox. It tickles me because I know I won't melt. Yet I myself long, in a metaphysical sense, to dissolve, to disappear in the egoic sense of I, me, that seemingly separate self. Unlike the sugar cube that melts without choice or premeditation when plopped into a cup of coffee, I'm held suspended in thought as I watch crowds of people wriggle away like unearthed worms trying to escape the soggy mouth of nature. Is it some domesticated fear of dying that causes us to try not to be found or seen as we secretly chase a cafe latte to hide out till it's safe to come out? Wondering if, in some delusional way, we believe we can control or assert some authority over her. Funny, in an ironic way, once one realizes that control as a concept is but an illusion. Similarly, how I play the spectator or Sherlock Holmes as I use my mind's eye as a magnifying glass to watch the underground world of ants and cockroaches run to hide till natural instinct signals them it's safe, bemused by the refusal to relinquish some morsel of food clamped in their jaws like a bulldog, an old bone he's just dug up. I seem to divest myself of my body when I listen to the splash of rain, hear the whoosh of car tires sloshing through puddles, watch crows stand ankle-deep in natural pools as they shimmy and shake, splash and preen themselves, only after their raised heads sing and their praises and morning prayers to the great bird father in heaven. All sights and sounds seem to blur into one, like a surreal painting created when beads of rain smear bird droppings over my windshield like gauze over my eyes. I feel like I'm wrapped and safe inside swaddling clothes where nothing can harm or touch me. When I stick my tongue out to catch, to taste, and drink drops of rain, how they first feel whole, then melt together and form. It reminds me of when I'd run bare-ass naked without any worries and skip through rain puddles to finally plop down into their pool, and mom'd yell out from the screen door, "You'll catch your death," and still I didn't care. I notice how dark clouds have the power to shift my emotions as they create somber moments without the sun blinding my eyes or blistering my face. I feel comforted and excited by the warm chill of sitting in my wet socks and unlaced tennis shoes, unafraid of catching a cold or spoiling my new dress. When I catch drops of rain sitting inside my car with the window rolled down in a plastic cup, I feel giddy, silly, like it's those carefree, happy days of innocence when I lived with a sense of timelessness. I release when it rains, a feeling of being free, newly born. Like a chrysalis must feel when it opens its eyes and leaves its cocoon into first sight. But mostly, I love me when it's raining, dissolving into that childlike state of liquid mind forever. End poem.
Beautiful read, Daniel. And, you know, that was a lengthy read, so good job on that. But, you know, it's definitely personal, you know, it's introspective, and there's something about the sound of rain when it falls on a metal roof that causes me to imagine the safety of a mother's womb. That's beautiful. I mean, you know, it. I kind of get that, too. I mean, I understand what she's saying there. But similarly, when pools of rain lie on top of the ground, not able to seep down to get inside where it's warm and safe, because the ground's already too full to absorb more, I feel comforted being inside. Not inside a mind that continues to hunger for more clothes, money, sex, or food when the stomach's had enough to eat, but can't stop the mouth from stuffing one more bite. Sounds that evoke feelings that transport me to places deep within, where omniscience resides in its solitary, solipsistic silence beyond the noise of radios that televise existence where there's nothing that has to be any way other than what it is. There's a feeling of home that bubbles up inside. I mean, she's definitely got a connection to the rain, and I can see where it fits her moniker of Liquid Mind Forever. But, yeah, it's a beautiful poem. I mean, definitely spot on as far as being in love with the rain and all that it brings. When I stick my tongue out to catch to taste and drink drops of rain, how they first feel whole, they melt together and form. Yeah, wonderful, right? Definitely lover of the rain, for sure. Beautifully read, Daniel. Thank you for reading that. What did you think, Weaver?
Sorry, I couldn't find my mute button. It's a story of my life. I thought it was... I do love the rain. It's one of the things about weather that I find to be exhilarating, out in the wind and the rain. All wrapped up. There's no such thing as bad weather, only the wrong clothes. As an ex-biker, I agree with that totally. You've got to dress for the occasion. But yeah, isn't it lovely? There's so many different aspects of this rain that that are brought to our attention. Similarly, how I play the spectator or Sherlock Holmes as I use my mind's eye as a magnifying glass to watch the underground world of ants and cockroaches run to hide. Cockroaches, we don't like them. Yeah, I think beautifully, very well done. I really enjoyed it. It was a long poem, but it didn't seem long, if you know what I mean. It just flowed so well that it didn't seem excessively long at all. It caught your attention all the way through. So great, thank you very much for sharing.
Absolutely, great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Bobby, what did you think?
A very evocative piece, very, very, very deep. They've really plumbed themselves for all the different feelings that the rain evokes in them, a feeling of serenity, a feeling of comfort, a feeling of home. Unlike the sugar cube that melts without choice or premeditation when it pops into a cup of coffee, I myself long to dissolve, to disappear into the egoic sense of I, me, that seemingly separate self. The rain makes this writer very contemplative, and they've laid all these musings out beautifully, like a word buffet before us. All these different thoughts that occur to them, all brought on by the rain. Chronicled absolutely fascinatingly, beautifully done.
Absolutely, great comment, Bobby. And in the group, Hope Soul says, what an epic write. Mamya says, this poem reminded me of the days when I used to play in the rain, in times of typhoon even, playing on the flooded streets when schools canceled, splashing around and getting all muddy, and then burning with fever afterwards. Even in hindsight, it was well worth it, playing in the rain. And Intimidus Rex says, deep and intoxicating voice, dipping into that innocence and sense of awe and wonder when the rain comes calling and one goes skipping through that puddled madness, free of the need of it in a world of greed. Absolutely. Great comment. All right, Daniel, what do we have next?
Alrighty. We have one for my captain over here. And I just wanted to comment on Mamya. Yeah, I didn't think of that, but, you know, in the Philippines, you must get schools called because of typhoons. We get them in New England here from snowstorms. So the kids go out and play in all the snowstorms and all that. So I totally feel you on that one. So anyway, Bobby, this is for you. One last summer one called Summer's Bravado. Bobby, you mutating?
Yeah, and I'm also waiting for it to post.
It should be there.
There
was a problem again before. I'll post it again. Just
there we
case.
Go. Got it.
Excellent.
Got it. Here it has arrived. It has been delivered. Here we go. Summer's Bravado with the pictures of the dandelions by Andrew Blitman. Summer, the season of liberation from the constraints of winter and the expectations of spring, is the miraculous awakening of unyielding potential before the impending fall of the snow from the sky. Greets the flowers that so merrily come alive in the twinkling sunlight of basking dreams, fleeting as they gleam shimmering bright, revealing the freshly unconcealed aspirations that breathe life into them. The transpiration of youth, refreshed of summer's transformation, blossoming in the verdant fields as meadows of grasses and daffodils in bloom. End poem.
Wow, beautiful read, Bobby. And I liked it. You know, it really captures the essence of summer and, you know, the way it's you know, nature's awakening, you know, of unyielding potential before the impending fall of snow from the sky greets the flowers that so merrily come alive in the twinkling sunlight of basking dreams, fleeting as they gleam, shimmering bright, revealing the freshly unconcealed aspirations that breathe life into them. You know, that's so true. Beautiful job and great read as well, Daniel. What did you think, Weaver?
Sorry, choking myself here. I thought, yes, yeah, I really thought this was, I love that field of, is it dandelions? I thought it might have been chrysanthemums because they look very big. Maybe they just have big daisies where you are.
Oh, they're dandelions.
Okay, cool.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Very pretty. I like them.
Yes.
I don't usually like them, but these are big ones. Yes, summer is the season of liberation, and it is after, you know, all right, fair enough. Winter is there. Everything, every season is there for a reason. We understand that. But if you have a particularly harsh winter, bring it a little bit, and then summer, yes. Then you can relax. You can grow into your life. You can do things that you're not constrained to be inside your home to keep warm. Lovely. And this really brings this to life. And I love that the last two lines, or three lines, a summer's transformation blossoming in the verdant fields as meadows of grasses and daffodils in bloom. Lovely. I really enjoyed that. It was a very light and sweet write. And thank you for sharing. That was really nice, Andrew.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
I'm getting stuck on a point. but it's only because I'm me. The last line, daffodils are a spring flower, not a summer flower.
That's what I thought.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. They don't bloom in the spring or summer. They bloom in the spring. My daffodils are their history right now. They're just the greenery is dying back. But other than that, Killjoy, Buzzkill, Breeding Buzzkill. That's my name.
Captain Buzzkill.
Captain Buzzkill. There you go. I like it. Now I got to get a license plate. But it's very nice. I mean, it is very effervescent. It talks about the joy of the oncoming of summer after the anticipatory greenery of spring, how everything it starts, you know, it starts like the trees aren't green, they're chartreuse, they're you know, there's a promise. The spring is such promise. Little things come up and they tantalize, but summer produces. I mean, it brings everything forth, and it is to be enjoyed in full. So as they gleam, shimmering bright, revealing freshly unconcealed aspirations that breathe life into them, and it seems like that too. I mean, I looked out my dining room window earlier today, and I have a corner of my property that is planted with daylilies, very, very tall daylilies, because they're planted against a backdrop ornamental grasses, which are huge. I actually spotted one opening already, and they usually don't open until July. So it's something to look forward to when you see the buds starting, and it's exciting to see everything coming forth. As he describes in his poem.
Absolutely. And Hope Soul says it really counts. Sorry, Daniel, go ahead and comment.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just wanted to comment on the transpiration of youth refreshed, I thought was really amazing. Now, I had to look this up, but transpiration is the exhalation of water vapor through the stomata. So they're talking about the plants, and that description of that as youth refreshed, I thought was just unbelievable. First of all, as youth refreshed for even for the flowers themselves, but I think just to talk about being refreshed as a youth to bring you back to the youth of summer was amazing. So all I wanted to say, and I appreciate the chance.
Thank you. And Hope Soul said it really captured the carefree vibe of summer. And Rex said nothing quite like a field aglow in fresh flora reaching for the sun. And all right, so can we grab Weaver's poem?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Yeah, and then we'll do Hope's after that. Let me get that real quick here, Weaver. One moment. Where are you? I see it right now. So, Weaver, you are up. And I'm going to post this right now in the chat. As you can tell, I'm filling up time while I do all that, talking aimlessly here. And there you go, Weaver. You are good to go.
Thank you, my dear. I think this must be my blue period, so I apologize for bringing everybody down. It wasn't my intention. Okay, prison and palace. My comfortable home is both my prison and my palace. I cannot leave it. My legs won't carry me as pain bites deep. My mind is what torments me in the hours of darkness, when others slumber, showing me the happier days of yore. My only love has flown from me. My miasma of need engulfed, stifled, destroyed all passion, as creeping atrophy claimed me. He is not to blame for this tragedy. It was kindness that made him stay far longer than he should. I sit in solitude as I weep over futile hopes. End poem.
I know.
That's so sad. Oh, my goodness. I hope this isn't
a group
hug.
Time for a group hug.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I need it.
I hope it's a fictional right, for sure. I mean, that would be terrible if this was your life.
No, that is my life.
It is.
That's my life. Yes, that's my life. Yeah.
Oh, that's so hard.
That's
we
okay.
Love
I'm used
Weaver.
To it. Thank you.
Thank you for cracking the shell and reaching out to us anyway. We appreciate it. But very pain-filled and very sad, morose, you know. it's heartbreaking. I mean, you know, nothing less to say than that. It's just heartbreaking. My only love has flown away from me. My asthma of need engulfed, stifled, destroyed all passion as creeping atrophy claimed me. Wow. That's haunting. Amazing, right, though, you know. Wonderful read as well, but just a tragic.
I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have. Sometimes things have to come out, and sometimes you have to just, you know, get rid of it for a little while. So I'm sorry if I make people upset. I didn't mean to. I should have said it was fiction.
Yeah, but then you'd be not being truthful, so you got to be true to your heart. A wonderful write, you know. Hope Soul says, you got me tear-eyed. I felt that in my heart. So moving and relatable. And then Mamia says, hugs, Weaver. And Hope Soul says, I love sad writes. But, amazing, right? And we love you, Weaver, so thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you.
And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
It was very sad and well written, Weaver. And don't apologize for posting it here. This is if nowhere else, we all share ourselves and our deepest feelings in here. That's kind of what a lot of this is for, and we're happy to. And I'm so sorry you're going through this. It's an amazing write, though, and I hope the therapy of writing helps. It helps me when I do it. And,
yeah.
And you know, the part that struck me is that mind is what torments me. And you know, if you do have, especially if you have physical, I certainly haven't been through what you have, but I have had times when I'm physically not really able to do a lot, and all you can do is sit there and think. And it's like the worst thing, you know, and that I sit in solitude as I weep over futile hopes. You know, when you just have your mind and there's a lot of negativity around you, there's not much you can do. It does feel like a prison, right? That you're stuck in.
Yeah.
So, hey, come on the shows. We'll talk to you. That's what we're here for. So I really appreciate you sharing it. It was an amazing, right? And sad, but you know, we are all here for you.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Of course.
And Manuel says, better out than in, just like with burps and fart. But seriously, better than letting it fester inside. And Rex says, oh, the crushing bite as the body gives in before our expiration date seizes us whole. The mind, body, but the mind cannot be contained as it breathes in separate beats. Wow. Amazing comments. Bobby, what did you think?
It was a very courageous right to admit to that kind of pain. Takes a brave soul. Some people will suppress it, and they'll tell themselves stories, and they'll say, "Oh, you know, I don't feel bad. I just, you know," or they'll blame, they'll assign blame somewhere else. But to admit to pain, the only way to get past pain is to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And if the right helps, then that's the proper vehicle. But you know also, too, that you are surrounded by the love and compassion of friends and family who recognize the pain and who have experienced it in their own sick. You know, and so the empathy is there, and it buoys us through. It sometimes seems like it takes forever, but it passes.
Yes, it does. I mean, everybody's life has pain in it. I understand that. It's not like me to write like this. It really isn't. I'm one for having a good laugh and a giggle, because I think laughter is the best therapy of all. But for some reason, this needed to be done.
And you did. And it was cathartic, I'm sure, because you put out there what your feelings are, and it, like I said, it takes courage to do that.
Yeah, yeah. The solitude part of it the solitude part of it isn't quite as bad as it sounds. That's just a relationship thing. But the being trapped in your own body is not pleasant. And I feel sorry for anybody. Anyway, sorry. Let's go on to something a bit happier.
Sure, sure. And we were—I just wanted to say too, Bobby's 100% correct, as usual. Bobby usually is that it is important that you write those, because what that does is that gives all of us that, you know, okay to be able to express our feelings the same way too. So these rights are always important to inspire others to get those type of rights out there. So I appreciate you doing it.
Thank you.
Let's keep going on. So I think what we'll do is we'll do yours in a second, Bobby, but let's get to Hope, since she's been on the board for a while as well, too. And Gray, maybe you can give that a read. That would be awesome. And then we'll get to yours, Bobby, after that.
And Katie?
And I just posted it.
Intimidus Rex says, weed gummies, they have for different ailments.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. And what are they?
Yeah.
No, don't. I'll find out. Don't bother. I'll find out. Thank you. Thanks, Rex.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so this is by Hope Soul. It's called Thunder in Love. At night, my bed howls and keeps me up. Way past the hour, a woman should be awake, creaking and complaining, asking when will your thunder roll through these lilac sheets again. As I lie here with my hand on my belly, surrounded by shams on a fluffy duvet and a small pillow I cradle in your absence. My mind brings me memories. You kept your word that you'd make this nest miss our bodies every time I slept alone. Promises of touching every part of me with more than just hands and lips, I remember. Dark hair with trickling gray rivers that ran between your fingers. Butterfly vows lay a Russian net draped with chiffon, handmade cathedral veils placed over braided Cherokee, hiding a face that swoons with blush only for you. With your thumb, you circle the center of my foot, staring deeply into hazelnut cinnamon eyes. They still hold your reflection from early hours till noon, midday until twilight. Our bodies would come together, becoming one. Moonlight skin, divine bone, ribs interlocking, sweet wine flowing. With each thrust, my spine spun a golden thread that lassoed around your tailbone, solidifying a Gordian knot dipped in melted Merlot wax, roping an unbreakable bond. This is what I wanted, but I wish to make love with you before you leave. I whisper on your neck. You said to me, and I'll never forget it, as you placed your hand on my waist, moving closer, if I liked it or not, each encounter was making love. The tenderness shared at candlelight or under the roaring sun, not only in the heat between our vessels, but it was the moment you took my hand and placed it on your chest. The times I'd hold your embrace to find sleep, each moment you looked at me and found peace when our silence filled the space between breaths. The love we made was when the distance echoed our names, when you set sails across strawberry skies, making your way to the land of milk and honey, finding your home in us, romancing the stars, scattering crystal cosmic dust within the clouds where light touches the softest parts. Sapphire blue to the reddest of hues. This I know your hands hold all and more. Also have love for me. End poem. Wow, that was beautiful. It's like a loving and dedicated rite. You know, you can feel the passion that emanates or do know in this rite. And it's written to prompt one. Making love was never about you and me in bed. We made love whenever we held hands. Also prompt 12. It's 12 a.m. and I'm nothing but thoughts of you. I couldn't help but be inspired by two. And so that's what she wrote too. She did a beautiful job with those prompts. Really captured the essence of both of those quite wonderfully. So great job, Hope, and thank you for sharing. Daniel, what are your thoughts?
It was absolutely beautiful and amazing read, Gray. You're getting all kinds of compliments. Mamiar is getting this sense of longing and sensual, and Hope said, thank you, Gray, you made me cry hearing you read it. So, Rex said, damn, Hope, that was descriptive and gorgeous of the marble waxing Thordian imagery. So, really, really touched a lot of people. And it's absolutely beautiful, and I do love the, I'm going to find that line, there's so much on here. Where is it? It's right, it was at the beginning. There we go. So promise of touching every part of me with more than just hands and lips. And I really like that, and that is the essence in that. I think that just shows that, you know, making love by holding hands, it's just, you know, touching someone, just, it's not just sensuality, it's just really touching someone deep with that. And I always thought that any time you're with somebody, you're creating a bond. You just always are. It's going to be a bond that's going to be there forever. I know that sometimes there are extreme breakups that happen, but that bond is still there. And it's described throughout this whole piece where it's not just sensuality. It's just this, it's a deep connection that you want to have with this person. So this is what I wanted, but I wish to make love with you before you leave. A whisper in your neck, you said to me, and I'll never forget, as you placed your hand on my waist, moving closer. So it's about the sensuality, but also about just the words and the feelings that came. And that's peppered throughout together. It's intertwined, almost like making love, the sensuality and the spirituality together, Hope. So I thought that was just really beautifully written throughout. Awesome, awesome.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
No, I echo everything that's been said. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of poetry. I loved it so much. It's the simpler things with a relationship that just give it that essence that you don't find perhaps in other relationships. You have things like, with your thumb, you circle the center of my foot, staring deeply into hazelnut cinnamon eyes. They still hold your reflection. And that's just lovely, isn't it? I mean, that's just how much that there's soul mates as well as lovers. And that's very, very obvious. They could have been at either side of the universe and they'd still find each other. So, yeah, I thought it was beautiful. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Very soulful, right? Deeply romantic, deeply emotional. This person has plumbed the depths of their emotions and brought forth the deep meaning and their feelings, and they've written it in such a way that it is reminiscent of Emily Dickinson, of Byron, in its romanticism. It feels like a bonding of souls. It's a beautiful piece.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. All right, where are we to next, Daniel?
We are going to continue with Bobby. So, Bobby, I'm putting yours up there, Captain. Why is these things copying weird? Give me a second. I'm doing it. I got it. I promise. It's coming. Here we are now. So is Christmas. I know. I get it.
Your karma's on the fritz.
I'm telling you. It's very strange. Weird things are being copied and pasted over here. Anyway, ignore yep. We got the another one I did. We'll get to that one later, but Bobby, yours is up, so go for it.
Okay. If anybody who reads my poetry knows I write a lot about my grandmother. She was a moving force in my life and a lasting force. And this is one of the few pictures on the heading here of my grandmother's house. When I was growing up, what it looked like. I treasure it because I've gone on to Zillow and looked for it, and it looks nothing like that now. Don't Do yourself a favor. Don't ever look for an old house where you used to live. It'll break your heart.
Yeah,
just leave it alone.
So, very true, very true.
Sunryo chain here. Summer vacation.
That looks like
at Grandma's house. Looked forward to it. She was my best friend. Went everywhere together. Constant companions. All the summer long, every day an adventure, we'd plan in advance. Riding the L train. Trips to downtown Chicago, lunch, and a movie. Buckingham Fountain. Boat rides on Lake Michigan. Concerts in Grant Park. Lincoln Park Zoo trips. Riverview Amusement Park, riding all the rides. Comic book vendor, we'd shopped for our favorites. Hers done, she'd read mine. Rooftop sun deck naps in a homemade hammock, snoozing in the sun. Play beneath the porch, sandwiches and sweet pickles, Kool-Aid and Barbie dolls. Stories of Poland, Polish songs and lullabies, my Polish lessons. She was my best friend, teacher, companion, grandma, love in an apron, end poem.
Wow, that's beautiful, Bobby. You know, she sounds like a wonderful woman, and this sounds like a wonderful adventure with grandma. I really enjoyed it. You know, it really captures summer with grandma, you know, riding the L train, trips to downtown Chicago, lunch at a movie, Buckingham Fountain, boat rides on Lake Michigan. Concerts at Grant Park, Lincoln Park, zoo trips, Riverview Amusement Park, riding all the rides. And then I really enjoyed Comic Book Vendor. We shopped our favorites. Hers done. She'd read mine. Sounds like a wonderful woman. Congratulations on having that in your life.
Well, that's how she learned English. She learned how to read. She never went to school in Poland. When she got to this country, she learned to read from comic books.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing, Bobby.
Yeah, she always read those really weird ones, Tales of the Supernatural, eerie tales, you know, the really creepy stuff.
Yeah. Sounds like a wonderful woman. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I thought this is so great, and I want to comment on the picture, Bobby. So I love the picture, and the fact that it's in color with that old car, I think is absolutely amazing. So I have a ton of pictures of my grandparents. Almost everything's in black and white, even you know, with those old cars as well too. So again, the fact that you have a color picture of that is amazing, and you're absolutely right. I've been to places that where my grandparents used to die. I remember going to that looks nothing like it. So having that memory is great. And having grandparents, you know, grandparents are an amazing thing. I only knew two of mine. My son luckily got to know all four of his, and actually got to my father-in-law. We lived it for a long time. I got close. So that bonding of the grandparents, it's different than parents, right? It is a totally different experience, a totally different thing. And I think you just captured it beautifully. You know, when you have people who do have that special closeness and spend a lot of time with grandparents, you know, my memories of it and what I've heard other people, you just captured it absolutely beautiful by all these little stanzas. I looked at a lot. And again, that picture is getting to me because I love old pictures. And the car in the front is almost the best part. Is that her car, by the way?
Yeah. No, actually, that was the car my dad was driving when he was when he was dating mom. And so my dad took, that was a color slide that my dad took that he had scanned into a picture. So that was my dad's car.
Excellent. I love it. He doesn't still have it, I'm sure. I wish he did. But
I wish he did, too. And it was unusual because my dad never liked ragtops, and that's a ragtop.
Yeah, and by the way, Hope Soul said that one made her cry, too. So we're getting the Hope tonight.
Poor Hope, we have to reel out. Well, my grandmother was a young grandmother. She was 18 and 19 when she had my mom and my uncle, and so she was. And my mom had me when she was in her mid 20s. So grandma was in her 40s and had all the energy to keep up with me. And as a matter of fact, she'd run me ragged sometimes too. But when school let out, I would go over to my grandmother's and I would stay over there for weeks at a time. I wouldn't come home.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Great comment, Daniel. Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes. Like everybody here, I do love old photographs. So the black and white photographs are so gorgeous. I'm the one who looks after the archives in my family. I have all the everything together in my house. So I love it. I could spend hours. I have my aunt's old cine camera film where there's no sound. Brilliant. Everybody gesturing each other, you know, like trying to walk. Anybody trying to walk in front of a camera who's not trained, just so much fun. So this I thought was lovely. I mean, it sounds like a beautiful relationship. How much fun that was. Really beautiful. And I love comic books myself. So the comic book vendor bit got me. I love that. We shot for our favorites. Hers done, she did mine. And I suppose she wouldn't let you read hers because they sounded a little bit creepy and, you know.
Oh, she didn't mind. She was okay
cool.
And I would spend the next, so I would like, we'd stand in front, that's one of the comic books I think were like a nickel, and then you had the annuals that were maybe a dime, and they were thicker, and I would go through the entire rack, and I was a DC comic fan. I didn't care for Marvel. But my grandma, you want this one? No, Grandma, I don't read Spider-Man. You know, and I got all the DC ones, and I'd walk away with like 2 inches of comic books, and I thought my grandmother was spending a small fortune on me, but she didn't care because I was reading, and that's all she cared about is because she didn't go to school. She wanted to make sure I was reading, and how many nights after that I would read myself to sleep.
Yeah, perfect. That's the way to do it. I always love to read. It's my favorite. I have a bookcase that has only comic books in it. My comic books are like more British ones. It's like Giles and the Perishers, and I like Calvin and Hobbes. It's got to be the best thing in the world. So yeah, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to this. Is talking far too much, woman. Anyway, yes, I love this. It's a beautiful memory, and thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
All right, we have some SoundClouds here. I'm going to put this one up next. So everybody is off the hook from reading, and we're going to hear nice SoundCloud from Arcana Amore.
All right, I will get to that. 1 second. All right, here we go.
That reside within this realm, among the sheltered trees of beech, yew, oak and elm. The clouds above were swirling, the grass below stood tall. From every nook and cranny peered eyes from great and small. A woodpecker hammered a rhythm upon a towering tree. Every woodland creature rejoiced and watched with glee. The fairy folk were here to gift their magic touch, only spied but once a year and rarely witnessed much. They all converged together in a clearing in the wood, dressed in all their finest, their purpose understood. It started with a bow and a curtsy to the side, then hand in hand they joined and took a forward stride. They twirled and pirouetted, making merry as they danced. Custodians of nature, whose presence they enhanced. Like tiny ballerinas, they moved with poise and grace, circling round a toadstool amidst their twirling race. Bluebells and daffodils swayed between the moss and ferns. Every living thing took part between their twists and turns, sharing in a toast that was drank from morning dew. The elves and pixies waltzed whilst the sprites and fairies flew. The sun smiled down in dapples that splashed between the trees. The fairies danced until they fell, exhausted to their knees. They paused to catch their breath as a silent stillness fell. The morning dew departed to share their tale to tell. The creatures took their leave back in the woods to hide. The fairies bowed and curtsied. The forest gently sighed. Then one by one they vanished in sparkling fairy dust that glittered on the air to be scattered by a gust. The scene serene and tranquil until the next time when they all appear next summer to dance their dance again.
Well, such a beautiful SoundCloud. He's such an amazing artist at his SoundClouds and his reads. You know, he's got a very stage-like quality to his reads. And, you know, this poem is it's fascinating, you know, the detail that he goes into. The clouds above were swirling. The grass below stood tall. From every nook and cranny peered eyes from great and small. A woodpecker hammered in a rhythm upon a towering tree. Every woodland creature rejoiced and watched with glee. The fairy folk were here to give their magic touch, only spied but once a year and rarely witnessed much. They all converged together in a clearing in the wood, dressed in all their finest, their purpose understood. I really enjoyed it, you know, and then he goes on about the dance and like tiny ballerinas, they moved with poise and grace, circling around a toadstool. Amidst their twirling race, bluebells and daffodils swayed between the moss and ferns. Every living thing took part between their twists and turns. And, you know, it's such a engaging and engrossing piece. You know, you really get lost in it, and I thought it was wonderful. And to me, you know, it seems like a short film for kids and adults alike. I mean, it's just wonderful. You can picture all of that that's happening, and you can feel the festive nature of the celebration of spring with the fairies. So I thought it was beautiful. The Fairy Summer Ball, aptly titled as well. Excellent read, excellent write. And what did you think, Daniel?
I loved it. I mean, the production was amazing, and people have been commenting on the board. Mamia and Hope, and I think they got it. It's so theatrical. I don't know. Maybe I didn't hear it, or but it, to me it sounded like as soon as he mentioned woodpeckers, that little woodpecker thing came in, and so I don't know if he timed it. I don't know if he made this that SoundCloud himself as far as the background music, but I just loved all the birds and the woodpecker. Woodpecker was almost like a wood block that was being played in tune that I thought was great. Mamia said it reminded her of Midsummer Night's Dream, which I agree with the Shakespeare, but it was reminding me of the Pink Floyd song, I guess you call it, a song called Several Species of Small Furry Animals Gathered Together in a Cave and Grooving with a Pict. If anybody hasn't heard that yet, you should hear it. It's literally just animals making noises. It's really fun. And it reminded me of that because to me that the music was playing such a part in this. So story of the wilderness just having a beautiful time together. But just the production was really, really amazing. You outdid yourself with this one, Arcana. Absolutely. I enjoyed it. Mamiya said she's going to save it, and I'm actually doing the same thing right now as we're talking. I'm going to save this one. So, excellent. Arcana, thank you.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, it was just beautiful, wasn't it? So sweet. He never fails to entrance and entertain, but this one was particularly lovely because I have a thing about nature and woods and fairies. So cute. When it got to, it started with a bow and a curtsy to the side. I thought, oh, we're going to have time warp. And I thought, no, he wouldn't do that with fairies. No, he didn't. That was just my mind. I just imagine the fairies doing the time warp. No, the serious woman. Yeah, little tiny ballerinas, they move with poise and grace, circling around a toadstool amidst their twirling race. And I love the bluebell fiddle suede. I have that book, that lady who had painted all the fairies, flower fairies, and she has the whole book of them, and it's so pretty. So I was in my mind's eye, I'm looking at these little tiny flower fairies and listening to the tune and the story. It was beautifully done, as usual. Well done, my dear. I really enjoyed that.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this is epic. The storytelling is incomparable. The word pictures, the word paintings, the chronicling, the whole event from start to finish. I was reminded of W.B. William Butler Yeats and the way the story unfolds in the woodland. It's not like the Stolen Child, which is a totally different. It talks about fairies, but it talks about fairies stealing a human child. But the way Yeats talks about the fairies, it reminded me of that and how he imbued them with such character and in this case, the celebratory nature of the whole thing. I also tucked this away in my one of my lists. This is a superb rite. The fact that he has carried the rhyme pattern all the way through, the cadence, very melodic, which is no mean feat. I actually wrote a piece similar, inspired by The Lost Child, and to try and carry that rhyming pattern through a story is very challenging. And he's done a superb job. So this is top notch writing all over. But then it's Arcana. So well, yeah, where's the surprise?
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, where are we to next, Daniel?
Yeah, we got a couple of short ones. Let's see what we can do here. I'll put up one more from our open poetry. And we'll see if we have time for one more. I'll give this one a read. This is by Nuno Cardoso. It's called The Peaceful Path. This week I drank 2 bottles of Bombay, 12 of wine, 1 beer, and read 2 books. One book I read, the other I'm writing. I walk calmly towards the sewer rats. I don't know what I'll find there, but I already started reading a new book. And now I'm going to try to bottle the rum and poem.
Well, that was an interesting write, you know, The Peaceful Path, it's titled. And I guess you can find peace in alcohol. And, it's definitely, it's definitely hard-hitting, you know, it really speaks to an alcoholic living his day and reading a book and writing a book in that week, you know. I mean, 2 bottles of Bombay, 12 of wine, 1 beer, and read 2 books. One book I read, the other I'm writing. Fascinating. Interesting, right? You know, it really captures your attention on the subject of alcohol in people's lives. And, you know, Cher B says, numbing out and still laying your heart and soul down, save the drink when you have something to celebrate. It is face forward into the seven winds. The tides will turn in your favor. But, yeah, wonderful, right? And fantastic read, Daniel. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, this is very hard-hitting. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. I do apologize. Sorry, didn't want to cough in your ear there. I thought this was brilliant. I love that. This week I drank 2 bottles of Bombay, 12 of wine. And I like the fact that the one beer had to be noted and read 2 books. One book I read, the other I'm writing. I think that was so good. It's, again, it's seeing other people's lives through other people's eyes. And, you know, and talking about things that perhaps some people don't want to talk about. But I noticed the bravery in this. I like that. I like the fact that I walk calmly toward the sewer rats. Wow, that would not be me. But I imagine those sewer rats are more likely to be in your mind than they are to be in your home. So, yeah, I thought it was brilliantly done. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, the beer was the one day when he wasn't really drinking, I think. That was the sober day, the beer. I'll just have a beer today. I'm not really drinking.
Sorry, yeah.
The comment.
And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I thought it's an intriguing write. It leaves a lot to the reader's interpretation and imagination. But you look at the peaceful. I try and draw from the title, the peaceful path. Apparently, his peaceful path is laced with a liquid anesthetic. It gets him through the day. Maybe it gets him past the pain. Who knows? I walk calmly towards the sewer rats. Now, that could be metaphor. You know, it could be speaking of people in terms of sewer rats. You know, they might be hanging that tag on a person. I don't know what I'll find there. But they're stepping off in that direction regardless. Now I'm going to try to bottle the rum. The last line's got me puzzled, but I like it. It has something to say. It just leaves a lot to the imagination, but then again, there's nothing wrong with that.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I really liked it, and what I like about Nuno's writing, I've been reading more of his, is these little subtleties he has in here. And I think he is writing it as a fun writing, but also as this kind of metaphor for alcohol as like meditation within writing and books. I just find it interesting that it says, and read 2 books, one book I read and the other I'm writing. So he's almost describing writing the book is reading it is like imagining it. And then I too, Bobby, was puzzling or thinking about that end where he's now trying to bottle the rum. So almost like he's trying to now, you know, the rum and the drinks are metaphors for being lost in the writing, being lost in either writing or reading books. And now he's trying to, I already started reading a new book. Now I'm going to try to bottle that, almost like get out of that fantasy world of the books. So, yeah, I found it really interesting. And I'm a fan of Nuno's. But that gets us right to the end of the show. I think, Gray, if you want to take us out, we are at perfect timing. It's 11:59.
Well, I'd like to thank Weaver, Ben Hart, Bobby, for calling in to share your heart, your mind, your voices, and most especially your time. And Daniel, you're a fine co-host. Thank you very much for helping fly this ship. Great job. And it was a wonderful night. So thank you all for participating, and much love, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Take care, guys.
Good night.
Good night, John Boy. Thank you for sharing. Come on, lady. Thank you for using.